This is taken from Psalms. I hate double-minded people, but I love your Torah. You are my hiding place and shield. I put my hope in your word. Leave me alone, you evildoers, so that I can keep my God's word. Uphold me as you promised, and I will live. Don't disappoint me in my hope. Support me, and I will be saved, always putting my attention on your laws. You reject all who stray from your laws, for what they deceive themselves with is false. You discard the wicked of the earth like slag. This is why I love your instructions. My body trembles for fear of you. Your rulings make me afraid. Excuse me.
I have done what is just and right. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Give your servant a pledge of good. Let not the insolent oppress me. My eyes long for your salvation and for the fulfillment of your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act, for the law has been broken. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Therefore, I consider all your precepts to be right. I hate every false way.
Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul observes them. The unfolding of thy words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me after the manner of those who love thy name. Establish my footsteps in thy word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep thy precepts. Make thy face shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. My eyes shed streams of water, because they do not keep thy law.
137. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delights. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live.
With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I cry to you, save me, that I may observe your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate upon your promise. Hear my voice in your steadfast love, O Lord. In your justice, preserve my life. They draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. They are far from your law. But you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Long have I known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever.
See my affliction and deliver me, for I have not forgotten your Torah. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Deliverance is far from the wrong ones, for they have not sought your laws. Your compassion are many. O Yahweh, revive me according to your right rulings. My persecutors and adversaries are many. I have not turned aside from your witnesses. I saw traitors and was grieved because they did not guard your word. See how I have loved your orders, Yahweh. Revive me according to your kindness.
Rulers have persecuted me without a cause, but at your word my heart stood in awe. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I have hated falsehood and loathed it. Your Torah I have loved. I have praised you seven times a day because of your righteous right rulings. Great peace have those loving your Torah, and for them there is no stumbling block. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, I have waited for your deliverance, and I have done your commands. My being has guarded your witnesses, and I love them exceedingly. I have guarded your orders and your witnesses, for all my ways are before you.
Thank you, ladies, for reading. That is very nice of you to do that. How many of you enjoy reading the Omar, during the counting of the Omar? It's wonderful. It's fantastic. Psalms 119 is amazing. We got two parshas this week. Adonai and then Yeshua coming for you. Thank you for Yom Shabbat. Thank you for your son. Thank you for your ways and your order. Help us to have the strength and the wisdom to look into your order and your word and your directions. And help us to get rid of our old self. In Yahshua's name, amen. Achremot. After the death of Aaron's two sons, Hashem spoke to Moshe after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they approached before Hashem and they died. Vayidaber Adonai el Moshe. Achremot shenai b'nai Aharon. Bakar batan lifnei Adonai v'yomotu. Adonai, Michamuch Adonai, who is like you, Master of Mighty Deed. This parsha starts off, ends with what could have started off with. In our culture, many things are 180 to the way the ancients were. And so this morning I'm going to have Paul. Thank you for reading again, Paul. You do a great job. We thank you, Paul. You make up for all my mistakes. And we'll start off with Leviticus. This parsha is, as I said before, when you go into these Torah portions, you want to be thinking focal point. What's the focal point of this, of these two parshas? And it's so good. I love it. But it's what God has shown me. Each one of you might get a different focal point. So as we go forward here, as I said, this parsha could have started off with what it ended with as an introduction. But here we go. Thank you, Paul. Leviticus 20, Vayikra 20, 22 through 27.
You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and perform them, that the land where I am bringing you to dwell may not vomit you out. And you shall not walk in the statutes of the nation which I am casting out before you, for they commit all these things, and therefore I abhor them. But I have said to you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, who has separated you from the peoples. You shall therefore distinguish between clean animals and unclean, between unclean birds and clean. And you shall not make yourselves abominable by beast or by bird or by any kind of living thing that creeps on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine. A man or a woman who is a medium or who has familiar spirits shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them.
Amen. Today we don't stone them with stones. Today, one who practices as a medium or familiar spirits does not receive the spirit of the Torah. That's the dead part. When it comes to what Elohim requires of his chosen to live, he's not very tolerant or politically correct. Our culture today and the majority of the world would not agree with what Paul just read. And it's very interesting as we move on. Leviticus 16, 1 through 34 is read every Yom Kippur. And it's about atonement. The one thing about the atonement is the word in English, it means at one meant. It literally spells out three words, being one with God. This is read on Yom Kippur, atonement. And it's very interesting because this is in the seventh month, and you notice the number seven, and in this culture, number seven is completion. Number eight is new beginning. And on the seventh month, there starts Yom Kippur, and then the 7 days of Sukkot. Now, One of the restrictions on Yom Kippur, for those who can they're not ordered by a doctor to keep eating, is self-denial. Some call it fasting. But it's self-denial on Yom Kippur is to proclaim our humanity, our imperfectionness, that we are not God and we do make mistakes. Matthew 16:24.
Then Yeshua said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me."
Now this is one day out of the year where the Father asks us to deny ourselves. One day. Yeshua says, deny yourself daily. But at this time, the self-denial is to point us to true repentance. Because in the Yom Kippur service, we have all the transgressions that we could possibly come up with. They've done this for centuries. And we verbally confess them, whether we are guilty of them or not. It is a day at the seventh month on the 10th day that God says he wants us to do this. So if he wants us to do this, it means it makes sense. Not for us to figure out, but just because he said to. And this is what one person asked me one day, a Jewish guy asked me, he said, why the two goats? And I said, well, remember Yom Kippur? He says, oh, yeah, okay, Yom Kippur, atonement. But I said, this is a time when we are to drop ourselves and come to Abba in forgiveness, for forgiveness of anything that we forgot we didn't do. See, there's three categories of sin. But before we go to those, our focus should be 1 John 2:1-6.
My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Yeshua HaMashiach, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked.
And we know for a fact, pretty much, according to the Torah, how Yeshua walked. God sent him to demonstrate to man how to walk in his order. Now Leviticus 16:21 talks again about iniquities and transgressions.
Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man.
Three categories of wrongdoing. Avon is the first one. Avon is iniquity. The twisting, they call it. A is a deviation from the straight path due to temptation. He said, do not veer to the right or to the left. But this sin is due to temptation. Avon. A-V-O-N. The second one is Pesha. P-E-S-H-A. Transgression. Rebellion. Is a rejection of the Torah and of the right of God to direct one's behavior. Pesha. There's a lot in Pesha right now. And the third one is Chet. Missing the mark. Sin. Is a transgression as a result of ignorance, not knowing, or forgetting of a Torah instruction. Now that, back to number two. Pesha. Transgression. Rebellion. Romans 8:1-17. We'll start off.
There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Yeshua, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Yeshua HaMashiach has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Mashiach, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together.
But starting on page 705 and onward is historical documentation and facts about where Christmas came from, the 18 misconceptions of the New Testament, where the rapture theory started. All these things are in here, explained out. Very interesting. The righteousness of the Torah is fulfilled when a spiritual man or woman delights in Yahweh's Torah, and the perfection of the word of Yahweh lives inside of us according to Mashiach in us. When we see that our spiritual man desires obedience to the Torah more, far more than our old carnal nature wants us to sin, then the righteousness of the Torah is being fulfilled. It's being understood and living inside of all of us. The flesh is enmity towards Elohim, for it does not subject itself to the Torah of Elohim. What the flesh does is choose a religion or a religious denomination that is comfortable with. The flesh rises up in anger and wrath and threats and accusations when the Torah of Elohim is presented. Sound familiar? I've seen a lot of people get very angry at the law. It is not possible for the flesh to subject itself to the righteous instructions of Elohim. Always, always, always remember that the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, is the spirit of the Torah. Yeshua and the Ruach and Adonai are Echad. They are one like ice, water, and steam. But the flesh rises up in anger and wrath and threats and accusations when the Torah of Elohim is presented. It is not possible for the flesh to subject itself to the righteous instructions of Elohim. Both Judaism and Christianity have all manner of religious traditions that negate Torah because religion cannot spiritually empower anyone. The letter of the law or statement of faith or a doctrinal creed cannot bring spiritual empowerment to either receive the Ruach HaKodesh or write the Torah upon the heart. Mashiach says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Spiritual empowerment comes from Mashiach. When we repent of breaking Torah, the spirit of Mashiach is the Ruach HaKodesh, which brings life. When we repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, we move forward. The spirit of Mashiach is the Ruach HaKodesh, which brings life. There are no substitutes which provide rite of passage to the Olam Haba, the world to come. There are no substitutes. The importance of living according to Mashiach is paramount for salvation, which is why his very name means Yahweh's salvation. Knowing that His Spirit must dwell inside of us, we can then boldly welcome His Word, the Torah written upon the heart, and all substitute false religious ideas and traditions of men are rejected. Does that make sense? I thought that was very good. Psalm 65:3.
Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them.
Yom Kippur, approached correctly, is a confession to God. Now, we can do this any time of the year. That's the beauty of it. But God specifically commands us, and He has a divine appointment. That's what Moedim means. It means He has a divine appointment for us, for those who truly love Him, to come before Him. Even though we can't see Him physically, we meet with Him. That's what Moed means, a divine meeting. Yom Kippur atones for sins against God. For transgressions against our neighbors, we must seek their forgiveness before we can ask God to forgive us. Yom Kippur is also a picture, type, and shadow of Yeshua, who takes on all of our sin. Romans 5:11.
And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, through whom we have now received the reconciliation.
Reconciliation, the key Hebrew word for reconciliation is kafar, which is the root word for kippur, atonement. Reconciliation or atonement is a daily need to strive for the future goal, not a present boast. Reconciliation or atonement is a daily need, not something that happens once in a believer's life. 1 Corinthians 15:30-31.
And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Yeshua HaMashiach our Lord, I die daily.
He's saying in a roundabout way that we, the enemy, if it's a one-time thing, then how come the enemy didn't disappear? See? He constantly works on us because we got more cracks in us than we know. And he gets in there. He's constantly working. I see a lot of heads nodding. Yeah, he's a busy guy. A lot of people. So we have to get it. I have to get in my head. When I wake up in the morning, okay, Father, after I praise the Father over and over, I says, please let there not be any big surprises today. Just let me get out of bed without something falling on me. You know, it doesn't quit. There is no such thing as a happy ever after until after. Whew! We got to hang on, man, and keep our focus. Keep our focus. Keep our focus. You know, focus breakers. You know, the phone, the thinking thing. It's like Brother Frank, he has a flip phone. And he said to me something that really humbled me. He said, I got one of these because I don't want one of those that's smarter than me. And I had to think for a minute, what am I doing with this thing? We have to keep our focus and learn. You know, God has allowed all this to be set in place for a proving, for a big proving. Luke 9:23.
Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
See, it's a daily. If we can get past one day and conquer one day, then we can conquer the next one. And the next one. And if we do it 7 times, you've conquered a week. You've completed, and now you're ready to enter number 8 and go forward with your victory in Him. And it takes a lot of focus. The minute something shows up, and I don't care what it is, sports cars, no clothes, whatever, you know, you just look down. I look at my feet. I look at my toes. I got 2 of them. 2 houses of Israel. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. I have to do this. If we endure, to strive for the future goal, not the present boast. 2 Timothy 2:12.
If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us.
These are short, strong verses. Our response to his grace, I mean, don't you think? I always felt kind of guilty because he had so much grace. All the way from creation was grace. Our response to his grace is to want to search out and learn what is pleasing in his sight. This guy died for me. I at least want to know what pleases him and what displeases him. You know, I felt bad for, I grabbed one of these Bibles one time and it had just the New Testament and the Book of Psalms. And I thought, if somebody gets a hold of this, I think this is promotional because it's going to make them want the rest of the story. If they're truly in the Spirit and all they have is the New Testament and the Book of Psalms and they hit Psalms 119 after reading the whole New Testament, they're going to say, where's the rest of it? They're going to want it bad. But now that I've thought it out, I thought, you know, that would entice someone to want to see the Torah. If they're truly in the Spirit and they go in a hotel and they pick up one of those little Bibles and they read that and they sit up all night and they receive the Lord. They receive promotion and progression. And they know they're entering into a zone that's not them. They're going to say, where are these quotes coming from? Where is this lifestyle coming from? Where did this culture come from? What is the history of these people? They're going to want to go in and find the rest, and they're going to find it because it's in every Christian bookstore. They're everywhere. Bibles everywhere now. Online, everywhere. So I just want to encourage people, the Word is the only order in the universe that will bring us less regret. It is the only thing. Our response to his grace is to want to search out and learn what is pleasing in his sight. Learn what it was that the people of God lived. I got to thinking about that. Wow. We have annual holidays ordained by Elohim as divine appointments, not man. We actually have days. He says, come be with me on this special day that I chose for it to be special. Yes, sir. Yes, Father. I'll be there. This is important. It's very, very growthful. It helps people grow. Correct ways to eat. The one who made us knows what is good for us. Divine warnings. Don't drink blood. That's in this parsha this weekend. I mean, this whole thing is uncovering the nakedness. Acts that defile us. Vows and oaths. In the Torah, we got revere father and mother, remember the Shabbat, and to discern what is clean and unclean in all aspects, such as speech, thought, character, as well as Leviticus 20:25.
You shall therefore distinguish between clean animals and unclean, between unclean birds and clean. And you shall not make yourselves abominable by beast or by bird or by any kind of living thing that creeps on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean.
Had Noah not known what clean and unclean was, he would not have loaded up 7 clean and what he was told of the unclean to load. If it was important enough for Noah, it's important enough for the rest of the people. Because God put it in that man to know. Because that man and his house were going to be the only people on the planet. So he says, 25:20, know what this is. Isaiah 52:11.
Depart, depart. Go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord.
According to God. We have to be careful we don't come up with our own form of clean and unclean. 2 Corinthians 6:17.
Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you.
And why does he say, do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you? That is insinuating, study my Torah. Look at my instructions and I'll receive you. That's what he's saying. He's not saying know what a pig is and know what a cow is. One's clean, one isn't. He's saying, he's using that know what clean and unclean is as a reference to study his directions. That's what he's talking about in Corinthians. Ezekiel 22:26, the bad priests of the time.
Her priests have violated my Torah and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Shabbats so that I am profaned among them.
Now, the reason I brought this verse up is because it explicitly explains what he does not like. And then in the future, Ezekiel 44:23.
And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean.
Because this is the key component to character traits. Clean and unclean speech, clean and unclean actions, clean and unclean thoughts are all part of what he is saying. Don't touch that which is unclean. I mean, don't come to me with your filthy mouth. Don't come to me with your weird offerings. You know, look what happened to Aaron's two guys, eh? Thinking for themselves. He wants us to think for him. We are to be purified. And he will purify us. He is purifying us now. Titus 2:14.
Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works.
So he's specifically saying here, his special people are going to be in the Torah. And he's going to redeem us from every Torahless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. As soon as I got it in my head that I'm not the one that's going to purify myself, I thought, uh-oh, what did I get into? Purify for himself. He's going to purify us. And this is something we didn't bargain for when we claimed salvation. Because sometimes it's ugly. It can get real ugly when he purifies us. He's getting stuff out of our lives that he doesn't want in there. Praise God that he does this for us. And I am so grateful I don't have $150 million and no problems in my life. I am so grateful because that would mean he forgot me. Because he's purifying us according to him, not man. Luke 8:21.
But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it.
And why did he say this? Because of Exodus 24:7. Kol asher daber Adonai na'aseh v'nishma.
Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, although the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient.
Luke 11:27-28.
And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Matthew 7:21-23.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
You who practice Torahlessness. Matthew 12:46-50.
While he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward the disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother.
Matthew 7:12 is so good.
Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets.
This is the law and the prophets. Bring comfort, help others, try to do good for others, and edify. That's what Shabbat's for, to come like-minded, drop all of our worldly influences out there, and come in as people of God and be together as you have. And I'm amazed. It's a good people. Just God is raising up a lot of people. You know? Praise Abba, man. Abba is a good God, and he wants his people, and he wants their focus. So thank you. Thank you, guys. And Brother Darrell has a haftarah. Thank you, Brother Darrell.